Today on Real Radio.
Hannah trusted in the Lord. You can see how in verses 8 and 9, she makes this wonderful, wonderful declaration. She says, "For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness."
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We're covering a pretty large portion of Scripture today, parts of chapters 1 and 2, and there's more than one takeaway from here. First, we learn that spiritual warfare is indeed real, and secondly, we read of Hannah's prayer, which has a striking resemblance to the prayer of the mother of Jesus, a fascinating part of Scripture indeed. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Worship at War.
Listen, there are two things concerning the church that the old Puritans used to say, that there's a militant church and there's a church triumphant. That there's a militant church and there's the church triumphant. And the militant church is the church that you and I belong to right here, right now. So in that respect, the church is divided, not in a bad way, but in a great way. The militant church is the church that is on the earth right now waging war against evil. The militant church. And the triumphant church is the church that has died and gone into glory. They're there. They are, as Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 12:1, that therefore also there's a great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us. Well, and we believe that that verse means that from heaven, there is an understanding that there are those who have gone on before us. The church triumphant. We don't enter into our absolute victory and glory until we die and go to heaven. Those brothers and sisters that are there are the church triumphant, but the church militant, that's you and I right now. And what is that church to do? That church is to worship. In 2 Timothy 4:6, the Bible says, Paul speaking, he says, "For my time of my departure is at hand." Here's a militant warrior for God, Paul, who's about to go into glory and make that transition. He's going to go from militant faith to triumphant glory. Hannah has been struggling half her life with a barren womb and all the chiding and all of the mockery and ridicule from her opponent, really, in her own house, and all of the jeering. And now God has blessed her. And it's though she's a woman back from the dead. It's amazing. The church militant. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 1:18, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare." That's the Christian soldier, is one who worships yet is at war. We are a strange contradiction of people. We are to walk around with our Bible in hand. Don't we look docile? I mean, we really do. We got our Bible. I mean, some people struggle, I think it's mainly men, with carrying a Bible. I mean, I have actually seen on a Sunday morning out my window as people are coming to the church, I've seen husbands hand their wives the Bible as they approach the church building. Isn't that sad? It's like, "Here, honey, I'm going to look kind of girly holding this thing." Well, I don't know why you should think that, because most men haven't read the Bible. And I think if you're holding it like that, you'd be quite a challenge to somebody. Let alone coming to church without a Bible. I don't get it, unless you don't know the Lord. That I understand. But having the Bible, why would we have it next to us? Why would we have it in our heart? Because we are waging a good warfare. And yet we are worshipers. We come in, we set the Bible down, we lift our arms up, and we worship God. And we really do damage in the spiritual realm of darkness, I believe. And we bless the Lord, and yet we study the Word of God, which the Bible tells us is the sword of the Spirit. this thing is sharp and it can do a great, great thing. God's way of waging war. First of all, jot this down. It's not up to human logic. It's not up to human logic, human thinking. God's way of waging war completely is divorced from human logic. We always think we got it figured out. Okay, I think it's going to go this way. Hannah could probably have said, I bet that it's going to go like this way. God did something that she couldn't figure out. You guys, God wants to do something in your life that you can't figure out. It's going to be beyond what you're planning. It's going to be greater. Why? Because human problems, God loves them. Human problems is when God's wisdom shines forth the most. God's wisdom over the human problem. We always fail and panic when we see just the problem. If you and I are Christians, then the fact is when we have problems in our lives, there is a great suggestion from that problem that we run to God and seek the Lord because he's got an answer. Is our nation tonight dealing with a problem? It's sickening. It's disgusting. But thank God, last night on one of the 9 channels I watch for news, somebody stood behind one of the reporters and she had a sign. Did you see it, anybody? And it said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. And then she turned the sign around and it said, pray for our nation. And that is so great because I have been so grieved and I have been so hard at prayer for this country and what the spiritual aspects are. I don't care about the platforms of what these guys are running on. I care about the spiritual baggage that's connected with the guys. That's what's important to me. The spiritual aspect. The Bible says all men are liars. It's the spiritual aspect I'm concerned and I'm praying for. And I was encouraged because that verse God gave me the night after the bogus election. If my people will humble themselves. And I was encouraged when I saw that lady's sign. She made that sign. And she went down there and she got in that crowd and she got behind the camera. And 3,000 miles away, I was sitting down watching. That was live on TV and I saw that. And I said, thank you, Jesus. That blessed me. Why? Because this whole thing has nothing to do with human logic. That's why it's all confused. That's why all things are messed up. But you know what's great about it? This great problem that our nation is in a conundrum over and in fact is absolutely befuddled about, the great thing is the wisdom of God is the only answer for this thing. Did you know that? Amen. The wisdom of God, not the manipulation of men and the arguments of men. It's the wisdom of God. We need to be praying, God, your wisdom prevail. And it prevailed in Hannah's life. Let God's wisdom prevail in your life. Do you have a problem? Oh yeah, I got a problem. Search for God's wisdom to prevail in your life. Concerning this worship at war, Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Listen, those are demonic, nasty, invisible forces. Against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, that is in the spirit realm. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your waist girded with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's what the believer is to do, and that's what the believer needs to do for victory. Listen, whatever your life situation is, if we are not getting up in the morning to start our day and putting on our armor, then we're going to get shot somewhere where we leave it off. You know what I'm saying? You're going to leave your helmet at home, you're going to get shot in the head. Your helmet of salvation, you're going to be doubting your salvation. You leave your breastplate of righteousness off, you're going to get hit with temptation and evil, and you're going to give in. You leave your sword at home, you've got nothing to attack the enemy with. You don't have any gospel knowledge on your feet, you won't have anything to tell a needy world. On and on it goes. We need to get up. I've seen in the bookstore that cute little, have you seen it, the little kid's Ephesians 6 armor he can put on? He can get up in the morning and he can strap his little plastic breastplate on. He's got his helmet with a little broom thing on the top, and he looks like a Roman centurion, and he's the Christian. Worship at war. Man, you go out there with these things on, and I bet the enemy, and don't you want the enemy to tremble? I mean, really? We are not to be vandalized and victimized as believers. We want, and we should be, a real thorn in the flesh to the enemy. Wouldn't that be a nice turn of events? You know, we poor things, we kind of get up because we're weak in knowledge of the word and we're not applying the Bible. We get up and we put a big target on our head. And we walk around and we wait to get shot when we should be putting a helmet and all of the gear on. Wouldn't it be great if you know, demons drove by this church and said, man, keep going, that's Calvary. They're praying, go, get out of here. Wouldn't that be fun? Instead of them pulling up and spiritually toilet papering this place, they've got to go. They pull up, they get ready to park, you know, their little demon Dodge, you know, and they hear praises coming out of the building. Let's get out of here. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if your name is known in hell? What do you mean? I don't know about that. No, when the demons possessed the seven sons of Sceva, they said, hey, listen, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you guys? Hey, I think if your name is known in hell, that's good company. If Jesus' name is known in hell, and if Paul's name is known in hell, then I want my name known in hell. That's what I want to see in my life. The second thing we notice is that God's warfare that he wages, it's not up for human debate. Well, let's talk about it. You can debate things until your arm falls off. You can discuss and tweedledee and tweedledum this and the other thing and waste your time while the forces of darkness prevail. Hannah trusted in the Lord. You can see how in verses 8 and 9, she makes this wonderful, wonderful declaration. She says, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. Man, the Holy Spirit is on this woman, and she's speaking forth the truth of God. By the way, I want to commend to you a kind of a neat parallel study. You look at Hannah's declaration and go to Luke's gospel later on, not now, and look at Mary's declaration. They're side by side. They're almost exactly, if not word for word, idea and declaration the same. Why? It's given by the Holy Spirit. It's not up for human debate. Listen, you guys, can you grab your Bible, please? Do it for me. I need this. Can you lift up your Bible for me, please? Can you just hold it up? Oh, look. Can you look around? Oh, my gosh. Look how awesome this is. Thank you. I needed that. Thank you very much. You can put it down. I'll tell you the reason why I had you do that. Because we have just found out this week that there are absolutely no laws in the United States that stick. You can negotiate and argue your way around any law. There's no absolutes anymore in America. There is no binding law. I had to see you raise your Bible because this is the absolute. I needed to see it because I've seen how this week our Constitution has been sued. Florida's been sued. Everybody's been sued. I feel sued. And we went from certain words to what does this mean, to shall, to may, to this, to that. And it's like, you know, does Florida really even exist? And it's like, what is absolute? There's no absolute laws anymore. Perjury, it's okay. You can do it. It's all right. You can do all kinds of things now. You just change the meaning of words. But thank God we can hold up our Bible, which the world laughs and scoffs at, but you know it is the absolute truth. And the truth is, humans can debate it all they want. It doesn't change it. The laws may change, the judge may change, the courts may change, but God's word will never change. She says concerning the Lord, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. His strength, his truth, it never changes. The third thing that we see is that it's not up to human powers. What is? God's way of waging war. In verses 3 and 4, she says, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Who does the strengthening? God does. Those who are mighty and arrogant and proud, and they mocked, the proud did, they mocked Hannah. They made fun of her in her barren womb. Her own household made fun of her. She says, hey, God weighs the actions. He knows what your motives are. And the bows of the mighty men, they're broken. God breaks them. Man, that's trust, isn't it? I love it. It's not up to human power. When God decides to wage war, it's not up to human strength. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Go ahead and get all the tanks and all the aircraft and all the nuclear bombs and align them up against the church. See, what are you, stupid? All we have to do is set off a stick of dynamite and blow this place up. That's not what I'm thinking. You can set off a nuclear bomb right here and it changes and alters nothing in the spirit. Did you know that? You can blow the building away and you can blow my skin away, but you can't change the spirit of who I am. And you can't change the fact that I am living forever in Jesus Christ. And when we pray and when we worship, it sticks. It's eternal. I love how God gives us hints about this. We can make a bomb that costs $30 million, strap it onto the undercarriage of an aircraft, and drop it somewhere, and in seconds, it's obliterated, right? $30 million strapped to a plane, which is disposable also, and you blow it up and it's all gone. I love how God speaks to us about how temporary things are in this world. You can spend $30 on a bomb and it's gone in a second. Well, yes, that's because it's designed to blow up. Of course it's designed to blow up. But after the explosion, you still have the enemy to deal with. There's still a material world to function and to attack you with. In the realm of the spirit, when we pray, when we worship, there is a war that no military strength on earth can combat. As long as there's time, we can pray. As long as there is a lost soul, we can pray. It's not up to human powers. When God wages war, he doesn't need to depend on the Pentagon or Kremlin or anything else. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, the Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that is, of this earth, or fleshy, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Wow, how does that happen? Because our weapons in this war are not of this world. I love this story. Some of you remember this, Gehazi. He was the assistant to Elijah, the prophet. It's in 2 Kings 6, if you want to turn there. 2 Kings 6, verse 13. 2 Kings 6, 13 says, therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. There's a battle that's being amassed. And the enemy is sending these troops, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, this is Gehazi, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots, and his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. Did you get that? Listen, it's just two guys, Gehazi and Elijah, and they're surrounded by the entire enemy army. So when his servant goes outside, he freaks. And Elijah, now in my mind, Elijah, he's rocking, he's got a corncob pipe, maybe a straw hat. I don't know, maybe he's whittling on something, you know? And Gehazi comes flying up, dropping stuff, lands on the porch and says, "We're in trouble! The enemy's completely surrounded us!" And Elijah says, "Lord, oh boy, open his eyes. Gehazi, those that are with us are more than those that are with them." Now that guy had to look at Elijah and say, "Are you nuts?" He saw none of that stuff. He saw none of it. And when Elijah says, "Lord, open his eyes," the spiritual veil was opened. There was a world in front of him that he was not aware of. Isn't that amazing to think right now in our nation, right now in the world, right now in this building, in our own city, there is a world where if we could grab it, we just can't grab it. But if we could grab it, we could part it. And there would be a world of spiritual activity that we could pass into. And actually, we're in it now. It's wild to think that obviously the structure of the spirit realm, when Jesus rose from the dead, he was both physical, but he could pass through things. And he could vanish and appear at will. Isn't it awesome to think that right now, between you and I, there could be an absolute war going on between spiritual light and darkness. And I believe there is. You might say, "Oh, I really want to see that." I don't think you do.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Worship at War. It's a look at parts of chapters 1 and 2 of 1 Samuel. In fact, it's such a large portion of Scripture that Pastor Jack delivers it in a series within a series. And that means that we'll hear more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, a couple years ago, we aired Pastor Jack's series through the Old Testament book of Joshua. And within that series was a mini-series based on chapter 7, and we called it Avoiding Defeat. Here's the deal. A lot of Real Radio listeners are still asking about that mini-series. So once again, we're offering Pastor Jack's series called Avoiding Defeat. Now, Avoiding Defeat will give you a better understanding of how to avoid the five steps that can lead to defeat, as well as the realization that the Christian life of unbroken victory over sin is God's will for his people. Our offer? For your gift to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-CD set called Avoiding Defeat. Whether you call, click, or write, mention it by name, Avoiding Defeat. Visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Also remember to catch the live airing of Pastor Jack's Wednesday night service on his channel. That's hischannel.com. That gets underway at 7 o'clock tonight. Hope you join us. And of course, all of our links and contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.